Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
Good morning and welcome to another edition of Better Living, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm your host, Chris Arnold of 105.3 The Fan. And joining us this morning is a longtime friend, and she is an executive director over at Project Unity, Charlene Edwards. She's here to talk about the big Together We Ball event happening later on today as we tape this show. It's going to be on this afternoon, Sunday afternoon at SMU. It's the 9th annual Police and Pastors basketball event. Charlene, how you doing?
I am great today, Chris. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I know you're ripping and running all the time because Project Unity has so many things going on, not only locally here in North Texas, but not only the state of Texas, but nationally and internationally. First of all, I just can't believe you actually had time to stop down for a minute because you're always doing some Together We Can, Together We Ball, Together We Sing, Together We Dine. There's always something going on. As a matter of fact, are you about to get ready to do a dine?
Yes. So we have Together We Dine with our partners, and we have a lot of those coming up. But today is Together We Ball, and we want to definitely invite the community out to be a part of this awesome event. It is a family-friendly event, one that brings the community together over the love of basketball. So we invite everyone out to be a part of that. Chris?
It's going to be absolutely amazing. And again, I'm honored to host it again and MC it and do some PA for it. And let's tell everybody the history of this game, because it was a way of bringing everybody together after the unfortunate parade shooting in Dallas.
Yeah, absolutely. So we started Together We Ball back in 2015 as an opportunity to bring the community together. There's a lot going on in the community with police-involved shootings and a lot of racial unrest. And Project Unity, pulled together community leaders to kind of put some ideas together on what we could do to help keep the waters cool in Dallas so that we could bring the community together. So we started Together We Ball, pastors, police, and community leaders, because we thought what a wonderful idea it would be to bring the pastors together, right? Pastors who have congregations, who, usher people in every Sunday into the churches, who come from all walks of life, right? To bring the pastors together, to bring the officers together who are out in the community serving, and to give them an opportunity to interfaith with the community. And then the community leaders, those who are out making a difference, who have touch points with the various communities, north, south, east, and west. So to use all three of those areas as catalysts for unity building in Dallas. And so in its 9th year, year after year, we have worked to bring the community together and bring families out, Chris, for this event. And our big thing with Together We Ball is that we want to put the community, we want to put families, we want to put children in positive opportunities with officers outside of a crisis.
Exactly.
So we don't want the first time for a child to have an interface with an officer to be in a time of need or crisis. Why not have that first experience be during the basketball camp or when they're dressed up as a superhero, because we will have the Dallas Police superheroes at the event.
Oh,
so
excellent.
It's a great event with a long history.
It really is. And again, it's another opportunity for, it's almost like you want to make people feel all together as one. And that's why Together We is such an important phrase. And I think it's absolutely perfect. And Project Unity does this with events that brings people together outside of, like you said, crisis situations or times of strife. It's like, okay. And therefore, you have a relationship. You develop relationships and you look at them as people and not just as the job title that they hold.
Right. And absolutely.
And I love the fact, again, that this thing has grown so much over the past 9 years. I mean, it's the pastors and police, not just the pastors and police, but you have civic leaders, you have community leaders, you have youth ministers who can ball.
Yes.
We don't have this like 50 and 60 year old pastors who think they can get out there. They do shoot some free throws, but you have actual really good games with police officers, young police officers, and youth ministers and those who are in the faith. The other thing about it that's also grown and I've really liked about it is you got high school teams, not teams, but high school players. It's almost like an all-star event that showcase their talents as well, right?
Absolutely. So we have a high school exhibition game where we bring students, athletes, juniors and seniors who are on varsity teams. We bring them together to play together. They don't know each other.
Right.
They may even be rivals, but they come together for the love of basketball, for the big win, the unity win. And so through, throwing them together, we're teaching them how to work together. We're teaching them about community building, teamwork, all the things that will be essential for them if they continue to play basketball into college, but also throughout life, right? Oftentimes, when we start a new job, we're on a new team, right? With people we don't know.
Exactly.
Right. And so what do we do? How do we build a sense of belonging and community with those teams? And so we're hoping that our players, while they want to play and show their talent, that they also know that this is an opportunity for them to get a life skill as well.
Exactly. And there's also a lot of things involved with this. I think sometimes there's scholarship opportunities for the people in the crowd or people at the different schools. You've got classroom giveaways. There's all kinds of things that are there. It's almost like a festival. It's almost like a carnival atmosphere.
Yeah, it could be seen as a festival, but it's a big community festival, right? And so you mentioned a couple of things that we offer, and there's still a little time if anyone wants to get in, but we are offering four $1,000 college scholarships.
Hey.
Four $1,000 no essay scholarships. All you have to do is register, show up for a chance to win. Those scholarships are available for anyone who is currently in undergrad or graduate school studies. It could be a teacher, it could be a pastor, it could be anyone who is in school right now. We want to support you. We want to support you in your educational efforts. Then we know our teachers. Our teachers come out of pocket every year to get their classrooms up and running. And so we are offering two $250 classroom stipends for teachers to take that money to replenish where, they may have taken it from, or to use it to buy additional items for their classroom. So on top of that, we have Dallas Mavericks tickets. We have State Fair of Texas tickets. And for those students who are still unsure about where they want to go to school, we're offering a college tour of SMU at 2:30, whether it's here locally or whether it's out of state, just to have the experience of walking a college campus and seeing other students with books and walking around. It's a great opportunity for kids to start seeing themselves as a college student.
And speaking of SMU, once again, it will be held at Moody Coliseum this afternoon, this Sunday afternoon, 2:00 Sunday afternoon. Can you talk about the relationship with SMU? Because it's also, you've got a great relationship. Project Unity's got a great relationship with all the different educators and different school systems around here, college and high school as well, and junior college as well. But you've got a special relationship with SMU. You've got a great relationship with Paul Quinn College as well. In fact, this event has been held on Paul Quinn College. It's also been held at the Fair Park, speaking of the fairgrounds, Park. And again, SMU, I think there's just a special relationship with Moody Coliseum.
Yeah, there is a special relationship between Project Unity and SMU. I'm an alum of SMU School of Engineering. Our founder, Richie Butler, is an alum of SMU. He's also a trustee of SMU. But also, SMU is a partner of Project Unity with our Together We Dine program, where we offer our dine program with multiple campus departments. And so it's a great relationship that we have with them. And taking it and growing it to SMU is a testament of where this event is going and growing.
Speaking of you and Pastor Butler, was it not just about a year ago that you two got honored on the
Yes,
East
so
Coast?
absolutely. So SMU is part of the ACC,
Correct.
yay. And part of what the ACC does is they recognize members of their member schools, recognize those who are doing great work in the community. And so Richie and I were honored last year as the first ACC award winners for SMU.
That is fantastic. Again, the big game is this afternoon at 2 o'clock. I'm making a big note of this 2 o'clock tip off because there are some people who say, wait a minute, the Cowboys play Green Bay Packers. Well, that's a night game. That's Sunday night. You have plenty of time to either go to the game or get in front of a TV for the Cowboys, because if you got time to kill and you want to do it for a worthy cause and you want to get out of the house or get right out of church or whatever, go straight over to SMU around 2 o'clock and you will enjoy the atmosphere. And again, it's a fun, fun, festive occasion. And this is the ninth year strong. Can you talk about, oh, some of the ways that it has grown in your eyes, because you've seen it every step of the way. Me too. I've
Yeah,
always thought it was
absolutely.
amazing that you got so many civic leaders involved, as well as, like I said, all the different kids.
Absolutely. So we have grown this program to where our high school exhibition game again includes more schools, north, south, east, and west. Our community resource fair has grown from just a couple of tables of information to information. Dallas County courts will be there. Defend your drain. Let's be environmental and thoughtful about. Things we do at our homes. We'll have all of the law enforcement agencies represented there, from DART to DPD, the U.S. Marshals, Dallas ISD Police, the Sheriff's Department will all be there showcasing. And so that has grown a lot. Live DJ, the camp for kids is really growing. So that more this morning, we will have a camp for fourth through sixth graders that is managed by the SMU men's and women's basketball teams. So students will get a chance to be on the campus, get some skills and drills training by the college players. Also, they'll have some interaction with officers during that time as well. And then just all the activities that will be going on: face painting, coloring book stations, pictures with the superheroes from the Dallas Police Department. And then, Chris, we've even grown it to a vehicle showcase. So the Dallas Police
Excellent.
Department will have multiple vehicles out on the plaza for folks to tour and take a look at.
Take
And we're
pictures
also
with.
including get pictures. And we're also including our Dallas Fire and Rescue, who are a big part now of the program as well. So that's another growth effort, is that we're including our fire department
That's
team
right.
members to be a part of that. And
All the
all the chiefs from all of our law enforcement agencies will be there: Sheriff Brown, Chief Cato from Dallas, from DART, Chief Como. So they'll all be represented with their chiefs there.
It's going to be fantastic. Again, it's just growing and growing and growing. And it also reminds me that I want to say this the right way. Together we learn. Is that where students get to learn how to interact with law enforcement if they ever get pulled over?
Absolutely. It's our awareness program on what to do in a traffic stop. Project Unity started that program back in 2016. We piloted with Dallas Independent School District, and thanks to Senator West, who co-authored Senate Bill 30, that particular type of training is to be offered to students before they graduate high school, 9th through 12th grade students of driving age. And so what we do, we take that program to class to the classroom. public charter and private schools. And we put students in contact with law enforcement officers to talk about what to do, what's right, what you shouldn't do. And then we also take them through a simulation of a traffic stop. So it's a program that is also growing. And if anyone is interested in having this program at your school, please reach out to me at charlene@projectunity.net. We'd love to help you fulfill Senate Bill 30 requirements.
Before we let you get out of here, congratulations again on Together We Sing. That was the big thing at the Symphony Hall.
Yes.
At the Mort Meyerson this past summer. And that thing is just growing and growing as well. Again, major props to Project Unity. And major props to all the things that you got going on again. So people, be aware, this afternoon, 2 o'clock, be at SMU's Moody Coliseum. And Charlene, again, I appreciate you stopping down for a little while for us, because what you're doing is just so important.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me before I have to dash out the door. Everybody, 2 o'clock, head out to SMU, free parking at Moody Garage. Walk on across the street. Just a reminder, if you're coming out, it is a clear bag policy. So make sure you have your clear bags when you walk into that stadium. But bring the entire family out, and don't forget to register for some of those giveaways that we still have left. Thank you so much, Chris.
Exactly. More information where? Projectunity.org?
Projectunity.net. www.projectunity.net. Together we ball.
Thank you so much, Charlene.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNC's apply.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right. Thank you. Have a good day, everybody.
And joining us right now, we got a couple of fun people to talk about a great golf event for a worthy cause. My buddy down the hall from La Grande, he's the morning host. He's the award-winning radio morning host, El Chicalín. Armando, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, what's up, man? How are you? Good morning.
Doing great. And we got Alicia Sorrento. She is the executive director and founder of the nonprofit LosPrimosDallas.org. There's a big, big golf event raising awareness and mentorship programs for children in underserved communities, especially Pleasant Grove. And we're here to talk to both of you guys about this. First of all, El Chicalín, I can't believe that you're still up even on a Sunday morning like today. I mean, you get up early automatically. I mean, I used to do those morning show hours, but I used to kind of, if I could, stay in a little bit on a Sunday.
The problem is you already know, because you've gone through it, is once you get used to these hours, it's hard to go back to anything else. So I'm up early in the morning. Doesn't matter what day of the week it is. Doesn't matter if I'm on vacation. I am up and at 'em at this hour every day.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Alicia, it's something special. You do this for so many years. You always have a fear of running late. It's like you can't trust your phone. You can't trust your alarm clock. You got one eye open half the time. Alicia, what time do you usually normally get up on the morning?
You know, I have kids, and they are up at like 6 in the morning,
oh,
ready to go, ready to do stuff. So I'm up early with y'all, too.
I totally understand. Well, I'm glad you guys are working together on this one big project, in particular because we're trying to raise a lot of money for a worthy cause. It's the big golf event. Chicalín, can you tell us more about it? It's coming up in October, right? Tell us a little bit more about the LosPrimosDallas.org golf event.
Yeah, so this is basically the name that the official golf tournament has is El Chicalín Swing for the Future. Basically, the tournament is going to be on Monday, October 27th at the Brookhaven Country Club, and give you a little bit of a backstory on kind of how this all came about. This is our second annual golf tournament. Last year was our first one, and you know, we were looking for a way to just obviously play some golf, have a good time, but figure out a way to kind of impact our community. You know, for us, La Grande 107.5, which is, you know it very well, one of our sister stations, is, you know, we wanted to be involved with the community, and we're trying to figure out, you know, what can we do that will help us raise money for a good cause and at the same time, you know, have a good time. We put this golf tournament together, and then, you know, me and some of the Odyssey people, we kind of were, you know, in a room and trying to figure out, you know, who can we help? And Los Primos came into the conversation. And, you know, the tournament is going to be October 27th, like I said, at Brookhaven Country Club. And I'll give you a reason why just Los Primos was so important to me when I heard what they do. You know, I come from an underserved Hispanic background in the city of Chicago. And it kind of just triggered something when I was reading about what they do, because unfortunately, you know, my parents came, you know, to the U.S. With a sixth grade education, and college was really never a strong conversation that we would have at home, just because, you know, my parents didn't go to college. Right. Luckily, I played football and I played baseball in high school, and I luckily had my high school coach from both football and baseball that kind of mentored me and, you know, started putting that word college into my head and into my brain. But I also thought about how many, you know, kids from underserved areas probably were not as lucky to have somebody, you know, kind of mentor them. So when I heard about what Los Primos did, I'm not going to lie, it kind of just took me back to, you know, the Chiquilín, you know, at the age of 14, 15, growing up in the South Side of Chicago, and said, man, you know, what they do is amazing, because they kind of fill that void for that mentorship, you know, and I'll let, you know, obviously we'll hear more in detail about what they do, but it's amazing because these are also kids that are graduating from high school, going to college, that are then coming back and helping Los Primos out and just kind of pay it back, you know. So it was just an amazing fit, you know, between Los Primos and Chiquilín Swing for the Future.
So Alicia, you founded Los Primos Dallas, and you were, of course, raised in Pleasant Grove over in PG. And you know all about the neighborhood. You know about, you know, the percentage of kids that actually make it to college, let alone get a degree from college. The poverty rate, the household income is only like 23,000. When you came up with the idea of doing this nonprofit, what made you think this is going to work? And by the way, a shout out to you too, because I'm all about educators, and that's part of the thing that you do as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it's been a privilege to work with Armando and La Grande for highlighting our organization and the work we do. You know, we're a small nonprofit, but we're trying to make big impacts and have a real deep impact with our students. So yeah, Pleasant Grove is, you know, real near and dear to my heart. I grew up in the area. I'm raising my kids there now, so I'm still in the neighborhood. And it, you know, it's changed a lot in the last few years, but really not so much in the same ways. Only 2% of the neighborhood has a bachelor's degree. And so our students aren't surrounded by people who have done the things that they aspire to do. And so, you know, growing up in the neighborhood, my parents are both from Mexico, so I'm first generation. I wasn't exposed to a lot of people who had degrees or who had different career fields. I knew I wanted to go to college. I ended up at SMU. I ended up in education, and I think I was pretty lucky. You know, there are a lot of kids that grew up in a neighborhood like me who weren't quite as lucky as I was. And so I sometimes wonder, you know, what it would have been like had I had a mentor when I was 15, 16, 17 years old, kind of pushing me and getting me to, you know, explore my creative side. Shoot, I might be on the radio with Armando if, you know, someone had done that for me. You know, I really didn't tap into that creative side of me until I was much older. And so, yeah, we give kids a chance to explore what their futures could possibly be. So we do that by giving them each a mentor. We do lots of workshops to help explore that, you know, explore college and career paths. I take them on college visits because we've learned that dramatically increases the possibilities of them actually going to college. And then we explore lots of careers too. So, you know, just giving them a leg up and a little bit more of an opportunity to figure out what life for them will look like after high school.
You know, it's a great thing that you've been doing. And when did you do this? You started it when 2018?
Yeah, 2018. So I was, working on my master's degree. I had just had my second son. Mm-hmm. I was still teaching at the time and starting a nonprofit. I was piling it on really at that time.
My goodness. But
I felt really passionate about it because as an educator, I was a teacher for 13 years, a high school teacher. I tell people, I saw lots of little Alicias out there.
Yeah.
Who, you know, wanted to do something and didn't quite know how to get there. Have supportive families, you know, in our community, we tell each other, échale ganas, you know, work hard. We say that to each other a lot. And I always felt like I am working hard, but that doesn't mean I know what I'm doing, you know? And so there are so many kids out there with supportive families, but they don't quite know how to, you know, take the right steps or get to that path. And so we really have been able to support a lot of kids over the years. There's still so many out there, you know, so we're glad to be supported by, you know, organizations like La Grande.
Exactly.
And you know what, if I can add one thing to what Alicia was saying, the interesting part about this is I have a 13-year-old daughter, right, mm-hmm. that plays golf. And she at 13 years old already has it narrowed down that she wants to play golf at either UCLA, UT, Stanford, or Arizona State, right? And mm-hmm. she's 13 years old. Now, her upbringing and my upbringing and Alicia's upbringing is completely different, right? So when I was a kid, I remember, you know, when I started having the conversation with my parents about, you know, I wanted to play football in Northwestern, you know, my mm-hmm. mom used to make this comment that, I'll be honest, you know, I don't think it was in bad intent, but it was just kind of what we're used to. She would say, I'll be happy if you even graduate high school.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because we come from such an underserved area. Like right. I grew up in an area south side of Chicago that, you know, we can kind of say it's like kind of Pleasant Grove. But in the city of Chicago where, like Alicia was saying, you know, we really didn't have those conversations. Right. And mm-hmm. what they do is so important because, you know, and it's not that our parents don't want to have those conversations, but you got to understand in some of these areas, you know, our parents, you know, both of my parents were from Mexico also, you know, they just didn't have those conversations. So we're trying to like break that cycle.
Right. You feel like you don't have a chance. I know what you mean. You're like, well, it's, you know, stay where you are, stay in your lane. You can only hope for so much, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think what makes us a little unique in the mentoring space is that our families, our parents are really involved in the whole process. Like they have access to the mentors. They mm-hmm. come to workshops. We have moms going on college visits with us because when you educate parents, you educate entire communities. You know, you're not just helping that one family. That mom is going to go communicate everything she learned through us to her neighbors, to her church, to her cousins, her tias, everybody that she knows. And we have found that like tension that parents sometimes feel with their kids in high school when they're explaining to them, I want to go play football at Northwestern. That it kind of alleviates that tension a little bit because mm-hmm. they've been learning this whole time alongside their kids. So yeah, we definitely get moms that are like, why does my kid have to go to school in New York? Who's going to cook his food? Who's right. going to iron his clothes? You know, like we definitely get that, but they feel comfortable talking to us about it and getting more information about it. It's a lot of it's like a fear thing, right? They have this fear of lack of understanding.
The unknown.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what makes us a little unique in this whole mentoring space is we've had people tell us, oh, you're like big brother, big sister, right? Which I think that's a great organization, but we're uniquely like catered to our Latino community. And that means having the family be a part of the whole process.
Exactly. The family is a big thing in the Latino community. And like, hey, Chicoline, you got to explain a little bit about how La Grande is really stepping up right here, especially in this particular space, because you're like almost legendary iconic down here. You know what I mean? And so for you to spend some time with Alicia, and first tell us also how you met Alicia. And again, you mentioned why this is a perfect matchup for your golf tournament and why you want to do this thing. But can you talk about how you were able to say, okay, yes, mentorship is huge.
So the golf tournament, and I'm going to give it a little quick rundown on the golf tournament because it is going to be an amazing tournament. Alicia, I could tell you it was so fun last year. We had the Dallas Cowboy cheerleaders were there. We mm-hmm. had Rowdy there. We gave away a Dallas Cowboy suite, fully catered. Wow. I mean, food, everything. Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, $25,000 suite. What would you say? Maybe $25,000 suite.
Yeah.
Easy. Somebody actually won that last year.
Mm. And packed
this year. Yeah, this year we're doing something just as good. We're actually giving away two Texas Ranger suites, fully catered, food and everything. So two winners are going to take a suite for the 2026 season for a Texas Ranger game. Aside from that, we're giving away first place. It's a best ball scramble. First place is going to win a $2,000 gift card for the PGA store, which means each player in that foursome will win a $500 gift card. We're also giving away some Titleist golf bags, some Pro V ones. You know, your actual participation in the tournament includes a free dinner, free box lunch, couple of drink tickets, and more than anything, it's going to be an amazing time, and you're going to be helping an amazing organization. So like I said, it's super easy to sign up. You visit lagrande1075.com and it's on the page there. A foursome is going to cost $800, $200 per golfer. But like I said, you're playing at Brookhaven Country Club, so you're playing at a really nice course. It's going to be an amazing event. So, and going back to the how it kind of all came together was I got to give credit to Oscar. You know, so Oscar in our
Oscar's promotion
department.
Yep.
Yeah, Oscar's amazing in our promo department. You know, he comes up to me. He's like, mijo, you know, because he calls me mijo. He's like, mijo, we're like, what do you want to do with this money that we're going to raise? And I said, you know what? Find a couple of nonprofits and we'll kind of like powwow and kind of figure out, you know, which one we decide to go with. And when he just started telling me about Los Primos, it just took me back. It's like all I needed to hear was a harp, you know, a harp and a blurry image of taking me back to the south side of Chicago. And I was like, that's who I want to tie in with. So basically the whole point of this golf tournament is for us to have a great time. And I will tell you this also, that it's a great networking opportunity because most of the people that are actually playing at these golf tournaments, you know, a lot of these guys are CEOs and they're owners of companies that want to help the community. So it's a great event. And at the same time, you're playing golf, you're having a great time, you can possibly win a Texas Ranger suite, and you get to help an amazing organization, amazing nonprofit like Los Primos.
Yes, you do. And for those who aren't aware, Brookhaven is an awesome golf course. It is the home of Scottie Scheffler and Jordan Spieth. That's where they both grew up on that course. And it's a nice course. I was just over there a couple of weeks ago. They had a men's prostate cancer awareness event, the Joes and the Pros, and Jason Kidd was the honorary chair, and I was the MC for that thing. Brookhaven is really, really nice. So if you're a listener to this show and you're like, you know what, I like to partner up, I want to do something with Chicoline, and I want to do something for a great cause like Los Primos, Dallas, that is a great way to do it. And as you mentioned before, Armando, the networking is insane, especially those events like that, because they're like, oh, I met you at this function one time. And then you wind up talking golf. And then next thing you know, they start peeling off that money.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
And you know what? My buddy's probably going to be like, okay, so one of the guys that's already confirmed is Giovanni Gallardo, ex-Texas Ranger baseball pitcher. So Giovanni Gallardo is a really good friend of mine. He was there last year, and he supported this event last year, and he gave us some autograph swag, you know, some jerseys and stuff like that. So he's already confirmed for this year, so he's going to be there. And speaking of Jordan Spieth last year gave us some stuff too, because so his dad, Sean Spieth, we see him at the club all the time. So, you know, it is going to be an amazing opportunity to just network and to meet people, but more than anything, to just help somebody out. And I never beg, but I would say, I always say, please come out and join us, because the more foursomes we actually get at this thing, then the more money we are being able to donate to Los Primos. So at the end of the day, every single dime that is raised from the foursome goes to Los Primos, and I would love to be able to present them this year with a check for $10,000, $15,000, $20,000. That would be awesome, and that all basically is thanks to all of our sponsors, number one, that obviously make all this possible, but also to for the people that actually decide to come and play with us. That would be great, is if we sell out all the foursomes.
That would be absolutely awesome. Again, it's the end of October, October the 27th, you said?
Yeah. October 27th. It's on a Monday. Mm-hmm. And the weather last year, Alicia, I remember, was awesome last year. It was perfect.
You know, I'll be honest, like, being a girl from PG, I wasn't really a golf girly when you like introduced this last year. I was like, what is the big hype? What is the big deal?
Right.
And I went and I was like, oh, I get the vibes. I get it. People were hanging out, doing out there for good cause, you know, having some food and drinks, networking.
Right.
Like, it's a whole vibe. It's a whole thing. So you're introducing me to new things here.
Well,
you know,
you got to remember this, that last year, you know, and also you saw it, how many of the players that were there also were donating additional money to you guys, because, you know, I always say that the golf is basically, how do I say this? Golf is an expensive sport. So most of the people that come to these tournaments usually do okay.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are sometimes looking for reasons or how I can help the community.
Exactly.
So it's just like, it's a perfect tie-in.
It is a perfect tie-in.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Alicia,
I had a great time.
Alicia, I got an idea. You might have did this last year. You might want to do it. I might be speaking out of line. Is there any chance that a couple of the kids might be able to go out there and meet some of the golfers?
You know, we did have a couple of our students there last year.
Hey.
I could definitely work on getting some kids out there. They really enjoy coming out.
They love networking. That's what kids do now. They social media, they all want to, you know, be content creators and network, and they know that's how you get ahead. It's like who you know as well as what you know.
Yeah, sometimes I tell our students and pretty much, I'm like, you guys are doing way better than I was doing when I was in high
real?
School. Like, I hardly talked to anybody when I was in high school. Here you are signing up to get a mentor, going to networking events. You know, we obviously show them how to do all those things, but I could definitely get a couple kids out there.
I mean, and now they'll be able to say they know Chris. I mean, Chris is on TV, he's on the radio,
yeah,
everything.
Yeah. You'd be surprised. I might be swinging by there myself for sure. But let me say this again. This is such a wonderful cause again, and you just never know who may be listening to this show and who might, like you said, want to be either help some kind of way, whether partner with the organization, the nonprofit, where they want to be at the event. And like I said, it's a worthy cause. And I said, you know what? I might as well write a check while I'm here, swipe the credit card while I'm here. And the next thing you know, you have a relationship, and they might want to have one of the kids come and be a shadow at their office or something. Well, those things can happen, right?
I always tell people, kids don't know what they don't know. And when you show them, they learn. And so we definitely take kids on like corporate office visits, show them what it's like. Like this year, we're going to the Pizza Hut headquarters. We're going to Dallas Mavericks headquarters because kids think like, oh, I don't want to deliver pizza for a living. But like, no, they have a headquarters.
That's right.
A
business side.
Corporate office, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, and like I said, they don't know what they don't know. And so you have to show them. So yeah, they've definitely started to learn that networking leads to more opportunities and, you know, how to present themselves, how to talk about themselves. We're working all that with them. So yeah, I love the opportunity to come out to Swing for the Future just because of all those connections.
Yeah, people have no idea. There's so many corporate headquarters here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You get to mix and mingle and wind up networking with all kinds of people. Speaking of pizza, Armando.
Yo.
I heard this story. I was listening to you the other day, and you were talking about how growing up in the South Side, your mom's house was the borderline of where it gets kind of rough, but there's a pizza place. Oh, you love Chicago deep dish pizza. That's what I was getting out of it.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't so much the border. We lived in the hood. I mean, we lived.
Yeah, you're right there in the hood.
Yeah, we were in the hood. We were in the hood. But yeah, so that was because we were talking with the guys from the Fan, and we were just talking about how, you know, I think it was Bobby that was asking me about Luminati's.
Luminati's
is a great, it's a great pizzeria. It's more of a commercial joint. You know, I was more raised because obviously being from the South Side of Chicago, you know, there was a mom and pop pizza place like on the corner, maybe two blocks from my mom's house that's still there called Fat Tony's. And and it's, you know, it's the big 400-pound, you know, Tony that's been there for 30, 40 years. But man, it's the best pizza you're going to get because it's those mom and pop pizzerias. I'm very big on obviously, you know, supporting everybody, but I'm especially into really supporting those local businesses, you know, that live in the neighborhood.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And let me give a quick shout out to a local pizza in the hood, Pizza Patron, getting it done.
Yeah.
Love some Pizza Patron.
So
Alicia, let's talk again about your nonprofit. I know it's tough. I always say people who start a nonprofit or start a small business are some of the most courageous people in the world because it's tough out there when you have an idea and you push all your chips in to see if we can't make this happen. So when you started this in 2018, how big did you think it could get? And by the way, the website is absolutely amazing. Please, if you're listening, go to losprimosdallas.org and check out that website. And it tells the story so well. And it's really, really nice to look at. And I know when you first started, it had to be kind of scary to start. What was the deciding point for you to say, I just got to do this because this is where my heart is?
You know, I don't know if I was so much as courageous as, like, I didn't really know what I was getting myself into.
You didn't know this might not work.
Yeah. I felt like I went on a crash course business school 101, like out there just, you know, finding board members, putting together a business plan, a strategic plan, figuring out how we're going to fundraise. Like, it was a huge learning curve for me coming from being in, you know, the education piece was easy for me, but like, just learning the ropes and getting well connected to the philanthropy world here in Dallas, because it's in Dallas, if you know anything about the philanthropy world, it's all about who you know
and really
what kind of connections you have. And so, you know, building in that network, I always tell kids I'm naturally an introvert, so going out there and talking to people takes a lot of energy for me, but I gotta do it, right? I gotta do it for the kids. So and just imagining what this could be or what it could look like, I don't think I'm there yet. Like, I'm still dreaming big for Primos. Like, I want to have our own youth development center in Pleasant Grove. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to help more kids, serve more students. Like, we have 85 mentoring pairs each year. I want to double that. You know, there's so many good mentors out there that want to help and serve. And so we have big dreams and big ideas about what we want to do with the organization.
Okay. So when you started, you, like I said, you were naive enough to think that could happen. And so you aren't worried mm-hmm. about that part. I know when the pandemic hit, it had to be crazy because there was a lot of nonprofits like, oh, no, how are we going to get to our kids, or how are we going to get to the people who support us? What was it like during the pandemic for you to keep doing what you're doing?
You know, we pivoted to a virtual model that year, and it actually ended up benefiting us pretty much.
Okay.
Because, you know, there was a lot of people out in the community that were hungry to do something. Yeah, people were really looking to get connected to the community. We worked on our website, we worked on our SEO. And ever since the pandemic, people have found us really by Google searching Latino nonprofits and finding us that way. I think the pandemic really taught us how to do that more effectively during that time. And so we actually have a lot of mentors that are transplants. They're like new to Dallas mm-hmm. and looking for ways to get connected. And so it's been a real cool way for us to connect, like, with people virtually. Obviously we're doing in-person mentoring again, but, having a pivot during the pandemic, I think taught us a lot, and it worked in our favor.
Yeah. It works in your favor when you wind up, okay, let me be more resourceful. And these days, more and more people are just online. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's just the reality of where we are these days. And so, Armando, can you talk about how, you know, in the world of radio, especially in streaming as well, you got to have a presence there, and especially when it comes to networking, and that's where, you know, it helps to have a presence.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we both can talk about this, because mm-hmm. how different the times are. Like, if you would have asked me that I was going to be broadcasting from my house for 2 years during the pandemic, I would have said, you're absolutely insane. I never thought I would have seen that in my entire life. But, you know, it just shows us how different the times are. You know, social media and the digital world is so important. I always say that, you know, people are still listening to a lot of radio. The only difference is there's more options on how to do it.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, I'll give you an example. On my morning show, it's amazing that I get, you know, messages or people calling our listener line that are like, hey, I'm listening in West Virginia. I'm listening in Los Angeles. I'm in Chicago. I'm in Atlanta. I am in a ton of people calling from Jersey. You know, it's crazy. But I think that the internet, the digital world, mm-hmm. if you use it correctly, it could be a huge tool for your growth. Doesn't matter what kind of business you're in.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Our storytelling is really important. Like, we want people to know our success stories. We want people to hear from our parents, our students, our mentors. And so we've been, you know, pretty aware of, like, our marketing. And we have actually a marketing intern that we hire every year. We have a college student that we hire. So if you check out our Instagram at Los Primos Dallas, you can see a lot of stories there. And I think that's what makes it like having this whole virtual world happen. It's what makes us more reachable when we're able to do our storytelling.
Exactly. Because you want to be where people consume their information. And right now, it's all online. It's streaming. It's also on their phones, you know, TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. I don't call it X because they still tweet. they don't call it posting. They call it tweeting. But yeah, Facebook in particular. Can you name a couple more of the platforms that you're on, Alicia?
Yeah, we're on a space. We have Facebook for the parents. You know, mm-hmm. We always got to be on Facebook. We have our Instagram, our TikTok. And then we do have some videos up on our YouTube channel. We have a little bit of storytelling on there as well.
Armando, we got to talk about La Grande and the success you guys are having there, and your show in particular. Can you talk about the growth and how, I mean, it's a whole lot of people's favorite morning show and some of the keys to success.
You know, it's been, man, I'm going on 11 years here in Dallas, mm-hmm. and I still remember the day I decided to leave Austin, Texas, because I've been in radio for about 25 years, and I worked in Chicago, Milwaukee, Nashville, Austin, and now Dallas. I still remember the day I made the decision to make the move, which was very difficult because I was in love with the city of Austin. Mm-hmm. I was in love with the company I worked for. But I felt like I needed a challenge. And, you know, when Jimmy Gonzalez, you know, approached me and said, hey, I think you would be huge in Dallas. Are you willing to come talk to me? I said, you know what? I'm not sure, because this is a crazy thing, is I have roots in Dallas. So my mom's sister pretty much got married a long time ago and came to live to Dallas. And I got a bunch of cousins here in Pleasant Grove. Uh-oh. A lot of them went to like Samuel High School.
PG?
Okay.
Yeah. So I got roots with Pleasant Grove since I was a kid. So when I moved here, it was a challenge because my style of radio is a little bit, you know, different. Mm-hmm. I'm very, how would I say, upfront. What you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that rubs people the wrong way. So I was a little nervous because, you know, I remember telling my wife, I'm like, well, let's see how it goes. You know, let's see if my wife used to say, I don't know if they're ready for you. And I got here, and I'm not going to lie, the first couple of years was rough. But, you know, the last 8 to 9 years, you know, and this is all credit to our audience, you know, the show's grown tremendously. We've had a huge amount of success. And that's finally when Jimmy and I, you know, sat down and we're like, hey, we have to use this success, you know, for good, right? We have to do something positive with it. And that's where the whole idea of the El Chiquilín Swing for the Future kind of came into effect, mm-hmm. just because I love to play golf and I play a lot of golf. And I said, you know what? It's perfect. So that's kind of how it all came about, was, you know, we needed to do something positive because, you know, radio is all fun and good, entertaining. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, we have to find a way to affect our communities in a positive way.
Right. You got to figure out ways to give back. Alicia?
Yeah, you know, the sense I get from La Grande, from listening and looking at y'all's Instagram and everything, is that you're all about community. Like it's almost like you got the community's back. Mm-hmm. You know, you're there for them. You're relevant to what's happening in the community. And so you finding us and us making this connection, really, like you said, it was just like a match made in heaven. I love that, you know, we were able to collaborate with you guys just because of your connection to the community.
So, Alicia, what was that like when you got the phone call or the email that they wanted to do something with you guys?
You know, I was just happy you guys found us. You know, like I said, we're a small nonprofit. So, we always talk about how we're about depth and not breadth at this point. Like, eventually we want to scale and serve more kids. But, you know, we go deep with our families. Our families, you know us well, and they really look at us like familia, right? That's kind of our tagline, somos familia. And so you guys finding us, it was an honor. I was excited. We had never done anything like this before. And so, you know, I'll stick with you guys as long as you want to stick with that. So, yeah.
Oh, I think it's a great relationship. And for those who don't know, what are the age ranges of some of the students and the kids that you work with?
Yeah, so we work with high school and college students. We start with ninth graders. Mm-hmm. A lot of our students return year after year, so they've been with the same mentor 3, 4, 5 years. So some kids started with us in high school, and now they're in college, and we're starting to have our college grad graduates come back and become mentors, like Armando mentioned earlier. So we have that full circle moment really happening in the organization now.
Can you talk about some of the kids that do come back and some of the roles that they play with the organization?
Yeah, so I'm thinking about one student in particular. He started with us our very first year.
What's his name? Give him a shout out.
Yeah, Edvin. He probably gets sick of me talking about him, but he's my boy. Yeah, he started with us as a junior, and he was, you know, a very shy, back of the classroom, quiet kind of kid. You know, paid attention in class, was doing well, but, you know, was very unsure of himself. And so he ended up getting paired with the mentor who was like the total opposite of him. She's very outgoing, very outspoken, and, you know, they've stayed together probably about 6 years now. He's graduated from college. He does community advocacy work. And now he is, he's serving as a mentor to high school students now this year. So it's always so cool to see how, like, they know what they learned and how they benefited from having a mentor, and they want to do that for someone else now. And so, yeah, shout out to Evan.
Do some of the kids, are they ever inclined to start their own businesses, or they just want to work their way up the ladder in corporate America, or, you know, or I'm just trying to figure out some of the things that the different kind of success stories that you've had, because, you know, every kid is not wired the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I will say 100% of our kids graduate high school, and 100% of them are accepted into colleges and universities.
So
a lot of them are taking that college, you know, that college path, and they have varying interests. We have kids that are into engineering, computer science. We have kids that are interested in the health field, a lot of marketing, a lot of kids interested in marketing.
Yeah.
We've even had kids that are interested in human resources, which, you know, is strange, right? Because you think, like, when kids grow up, they're like, I'm going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a teacher, you know, like those very, you know, typical career fields. But because of the exposure they get with their mentors, they're like, oh, I'm a 17-year-old and I know what human resources is, and I want to do that.
Yeah.
And so they want to pursue that. Yeah. So like I said, they don't know what they don't know until they learn from their mentor. And so, our kids are engaged in all kinds of career paths.
Armando, let's go back to when you were a kid. When did you decide that you wanted to be on the radio? Tell everybody how you got started.
I was lucky. I, at the age of maybe 11 or 12 years old, I pretty much knew I wanted to be on the radio. My brother and I used to watch, you know, White Sox, Chicago Cub games. We used to lower the volume and kind of do our own little play-by-play. And then when I got a little bit older, I'm not going to lie, I was a huge Howard Stern fan. So I listened to a lot of Howard Stern. And pretty much when I was, you know, 12, 13 years old, I already knew I wanted to be in the radio. And the crazy thing is, you know, back in my day, I don't even know if they still have yearbooks, but back in my day when I went to high school, you know, we had a yearbook.
I'm like, do they have them?
I'm like, do they even do the whole yearbook thing? But I know back in my day, the yearbook would do, you know, different, you know, class clowns, so on and so on. So I won most likely to have his own talk show.
And
that was crazy because I was like, wow, they must have knew, they knew something or saw something.
Yeah. And then how did you get into radio?
So I went to school for communications. My major was computer science. And when I told my mom that I wanted to get out of computer science because I wanted to be on the radio, she almost disowned me.
I bet.
Because
that sounds like my
mom
daddy.
Was like, yeah, it's like, what you want to do?
What?
And I said, I want to be on the radio. I tried to fight it and I tried to like kind of suppress it. And finally I told my mom, I'm going to do this. And I remember that it was not an easy conversation. Luckily my stepdad pretty much, you know, said, hey, you do what you got to do. I got your back and I'll talk to your mom. Now, you know, my mom is so proud of everything that I've been able to accomplish. But I still remember how hard of a conversation it was. And you said it earlier, not all kids are wired the same way.
Exactly. You know? Exactly. You got to be passionate to have a career. In other words, a lot of people can have a job. But if you want to have a career, you got to be passionate about it. And I'm grinning over here because you're talking about your mom. I'm like, what? My parents are kind of doing the same thing. And my daddy, I mean, I had to get into my 30s before he stopped saying, every time I would see him, he'd say, so when are you going to get a real job?
Oh, my God. I thought I was the only one that had parents that said that.
It was like, this, I hope it works out. Like, it's working out. So I had in my mind, I was like, this has got to work out, because they put it to my head, you gotta get your real job. If you don't do this the right way, you gotta work it out. So Alicia, so we're talking about our crazy radio careers and how we took that chance like that. And I told you, I give you major props for taking a chance on starting your own nonprofit. But again, you took your classwork seriously, and you were able to make these connections, and you say, you know what, I want to pass this thing down, right? And that's what was your impetus. You said, I want to be able to pass this down, and that was your passion.
Yeah, you mean like my whole first generation experience, like being able to share that with other kids?
Yeah. And being able to connect people to careers and greater jobs and things that are not just, you know, the same old thing.
Yeah, I think it's important for, you know, a lot of our public schools don't have the opportunity or the chances to let kids explore, mm-hmm. you know, their passions, right. or, you know, and so like we are trying to fill that gap that, you know, don't always happen within the four walls of a school, right? They're worried about math and science and social studies and all the state testing and all of that. And they don't always have the opportunity to do all this career exploration the way that we're doing. So we're hoping that we're filling a gap there and allowing kids to, you know, get a sense of what the world is like after high school. You know, I think what happens so often, I saw it with a lot of my girlfriends I grew up with in Pleasant Grove, that they graduated high school, they got jobs, and, you know, 10 years later, they're working in the same store they were working at when they graduated high school. And they're like, man, I really should have done things differently. You know, I should have gone to college. I should have taken some classes. I should have done this thing or that thing. And I don't want kids to graduate high school and be like, okay, now what, you know,
right.
or regret their decisions. Like you can explore what you want to do early on. You don't have to make decisions for the rest of your life when you're 17, but exploring, I think, is so important.
It's so important. It's time for some trial and error. It's time to take a chance. It's time to see what you can do and not have regrets about what you could not do. And it doesn't have to be, you know, quote unquote, the most interesting career in the world. It could be just something that you're passionate about. Again, that's why I totally admire educators, because you're passionate about teaching kids and watching people grow. And I'm also passionate about people who do things that are just a little bit different, like El Chicolin. I mean, he does things just a little bit different. So
I love hearing your guys' stories about how you got into radio and how you got there, you know, what your path was. And we try to tell kids, like, you know, success isn't always like the straight line, right? You can have ups and downs. You can have career changes. I mean, look at me. I was a woman in my 30s who switched from education to nonprofit management. You know, like, success isn't this like perfect straight line. And you have to work through the struggles, move back, go up and down, do all of that. But, you know, you can end up, you know, doing something you really love.
Exactly. I always say success is a journey, not a destination. The journey is the reward. What you go through is what makes you appreciate the really good things that happen. And speaking of that, Armando, give me a couple of the most interesting people you've met in your career in radio. People love to hear these kind of stories.
It's been a bunch. You know, I met Jennifer Lopez.
Look out, J Lo.
Yeah, I met J Lo once. She was awesome. I met Matthew McConaughey.
All right.
I actually ran into him at the airport in Austin a couple times, just because when I lived in Austin, I used to fly out of there a lot. This is a crazy one that I never would have expected this. So I met Barack Obama before he became the president of the United States.
Chicago?
Yeah,
was it Chicago?
Yeah, so I was actually during the Mexican Independence weekend in a celebration in Chicago. We would do this big parade in La Villita, which is like the predominantly Hispanic area of Chicago. And at the time, I believe he was a senator. And I remember, because our program director came up to us and said, hey, there's going to be a senator that's going to join you guys on the float. So just when he gets here, you know, just let him get on the float, and, you know, he's going to be waving everybody, so on and so on. So I said, all right, cool. you know, I'm not going to lie, this was kind of towards the beginning of my career where I really wasn't hugely into politics as much as I am now, just because I was a lot younger back mm-hmm. then. And I always tell my wife to this day, I regret not taking a picture with him.
You didn't
because,
know.
You know, later he becomes the first African-American president.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, I dropped. So that was a pretty cool moment.
I bet it was. Before we get out of here, I want you guys to once again talk about this golf tournament, because this event is so important because it can help out LosPrimosDallas.org so much. So that information again for everybody who's listening who wants to be a part of the golf tournament, play in it, be there for it. Go ahead, Armando.
Yeah, so basically if you play golf, you got a bunch of buddies that play golf, men, women, children, everybody, because it's a family
that's
event,
right?
It's going to be a great time. Basically, we're looking for foursomes that want to come play golf at Brookhaven Country Club. It's going to be Monday, October 27th. We're also going to do something a little bit different at the beginning of the tournament. We're going to do a networking cocktail hour, right?
Hey.
And that is basically just for people to come out, network, get to know each other. I got some personal friends that are there. Some of these guys are lawyers. Some of these guys are CEOs. Some mm-hmm. of these guys are... You know, they own their own construction company. So it's a bunch of different people that are just going to go and play golf, have a good time. Last year, we had the Cowboy cheerleaders out there. Rowdy was out there. This year, it's going to be the same. You know, it's going to be a huge event. We are going to give away 2 Texas Rangers suites. All right. So just so you guys understand, woo, 2 people will win a suite for about 18 people with, you know, catered, the whole shebang. Aside from that, first place for the scramble portion of it, Best Ball is going to win a $2,000 gift card for the PGA store. And anybody can sign up. We're looking for foursomes to just join us. It includes dinner. It includes lunch. It includes a couple of drink tickets. Obviously, it includes around the golf cart, everything else. And it's $200 per player. So $800 for a foursome. And it's real easy to sign up. You can go to LaGrande1075.com, or you can send me a message on my Instagram, which is at El Chiquilin Radio. I think the La Grande might be a little bit easier for you guys to find, but you know, it's super simple to sign up. You do it all online, and it's going to be a great event. It's going to be Monday, October 27th at Brookhaven Country Club, and you know, all the money that is raised from the green fees is going to go to Los Primos. And also, if you own a business, there is sponsorship opportunities. You can reach out to us also on the website, and we would just love to see everybody there and have a humongous party and have a great time, and at the same time help out such an amazing nonprofit like Los Primos.
Exactly. He is the great El Chiquilin from La Grande. Alicia Serrato, could you tell us where we can find more information about Los Primos Dallas, the website?
Yeah, so our Instagram is pretty active. We're posting on there 2-3 times a week. So it's at Los Primos Dallas. If you can find us on Instagram. And then our website is losprimosdallas.org. And we're always looking for volunteers. We're always looking for people to partner with, corporations, other nonprofits. So you found our nonprofit interesting today and enticing, then reach out and we'll figure something out.
That is fantastic. And thank you all for being with us on Better Living Today, a show about people or organizations having a big impact here in North Texas. I'm Chris Arnold. So long, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.